This is Dr. Julie Linderman, and this is another episode of the Mommy MD podcast, where I am joined by my amazing colleague and friend, Dr. Karen McClard, where we will be discussing RSV infection and a new social phenomenon known as canceling. Happy to have you join us. Okay, so we're back.
Good morning, Dr. Linderman.
Good morning, Dr. McClard.
How was your weekend so far?
Oh, it's been lazy and fabulous.
Nice.
What about yours?
Same, basically. I'm mainly working on a 3D model of an animal cell for ninth grade biology, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Because I really need to review my biology.
You know, there's something to be said for that.
And I get super excited about the Golgi apparatus and mitochondria. And my son just doesn't sharing my enthusiasm, so it's kind of hard, but I'm trying to rein it in.
You know, it just takes perspective. Like, there are so many boring things that they're going to have to learn over time that then suddenly the Golgi apparatus is fascinating.
But he did the other day, he said something like, why do I have to know this? And I said, to pass your biology test. And he said, well, one day when I'm doing my taxes, they're going to ask me, what's the purpose of mitochondria? And I'm going to know the answer now. I said, you're right. This is critical.
There you
live
go.
Information.
It is. So. It is. It'll come in handy at some point.
Okay, Dr. Linderman, tell me what new exciting things you've learned since I saw you last.
Well, so when you were on your way here this morning, I was like, what are we going to talk about? And it happens to be Sunday. And so I went out and got the New York Times and I just flipped through like the first couple, you know, sections just to see if there was anything that I thought would be interesting for us to discuss and that would be kind of pertinent for our patient population, potentially parents, to hear. And so there's this expression that I have never heard before called canceling. And I'm sure our kids know what this is, but I think it's used similar to that expression.
Ghosting. It's like ghosting.
Yes. And so what it means is, and what was interesting in this article is it's talking about, it's being used in the context of like, if somebody says something that you really kind of disagree with. So generally in like a social situation, like they, you know, are playing, like, I think in the article it talked about this kid in this class was playing an R. Kelly song.
Mm-hmm.
And this student found it offensive because of R. Kelly's history.
Generally a creep. Yes.
And
that's a pretty safe opinion.
Told him to stop playing the song. And he said, well, this is just a song and I like it. I know the guy's a jerk, but I like the song.
Okay.
And so this student then decided, and there are probably other factors that says that, you know, he's not a great guy. Some of his behaviors had been questionable in the past.
This
whatever.
Was a girl that was offended, or they were
a girl
boys?
That was offended.
A girl was offended. Yes. Got it. Okay.
And so she said that she had decided to cancel him. And she told, you know, her classmates, and she told, like, her parents, whatever. And so what the expression means is that you're not going to acknowledge them at all. So if they speak, you don't even look in their direction.
So to ghost someone, you need to not have any interaction with them. Like, my understanding.
Yes. Same thing.
From popular culture.
Yes.
Is that you, like, don't respond to their texts or you block them on all social media.
Yes.
But in my mind, ghosting is like you go on a date with someone a few times and then you don't have the courage to break up with them and then you ghost them. But to cancel someone is a little bit more active.
It's very active.
Because you have to physically try to not acknowledge their existence?
Yes.
Got it.
So completely alienate.
Okay.
And not necessarily someone that you've been close to before, but you intentionally, actively ignore them.
Okay.
Their existence.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then potentially you do it vocally so that then other people who agree with your sort of philosophy can also cancel them.
You know, it's so interesting to me. I feel like that society's kind of all over the map on personal rights.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, everyone is supposed to be allowed to have their opinion and everyone's supposed to be allowed to do whatever they want. So you would think that maybe you don't have to interact with this person. You don't have to listen to R. Kelly.
Right.
But then it's like you're doing something to him that is offensive and mean and hurtful to him.
Absolutely.
And so.
And to do what then? Like, what is the goal of that? So it's one thing if it's just, I don't want to listen to R. Kelly. I don't want to hang out with this guy, right?
Right.
That's appropriate and fine.
Yes.
But this is almost like, if you do anything that I don't consider socially appropriate, then you are going to be blocked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, where's the growth then that occurs in somebody? Because you give somebody a chance to reevaluate like how they feel about things and mature over time, or do you force them to conform to your ideology in order to be accepted, which then where is creativity and diversion of thought? I mean, it's sad to me that that's the way things are going. You're so ostracized.
Is this like a high school or middle school?
Yeah, I mean, both. I mean, the article goes
on
and
on. I'm definitely going to have to ask my children about canceling.
I've never heard that before.
I mean, I haven't either, but to be fair, so my son is 15 and I, you know, he talks to me and all this stuff, but he isn't just like outright coming and telling me every single thought that's entering his head. My 10-year-old daughter, on the other hand, I have learned so much because she has taught me about things like TikTok and have you heard of this thing called throwing the woe?
No.
Okay. Well, it's like it's an, you like kind of take your hands and you act like you're throwing something up and then you kind of strike a pose. Oh, hey,
it's awesome.
I mean, it's something that I guess they do on TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about social media too, but, cause I think this kind of all loops into that. But I feel like if it's a thing in fourth grade at Green Hill, Lucy will know about it.
Yeah.
Hayden.
I'm curious to hear what they think.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they use the expression, but it sounded like this expression is commonly used and not just like state specific.
And I mean, it's more aggressive than ghosting, which is still kind of a jerk thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, so. Okay, well, add that to my teen lingo.
I know.
To talk to people about. I have so many things that I'm get to learn
the rest
of my life, I guess.
Well, and I mean, you know, this last week it was interesting at work because, you know, obviously now we're into like sick season, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm seeing a lot of patients that have, you know, like, I don't know, we'll talk about, I guess, in detail some of the stuff that we're seeing right now, but my well checks were kind of teen heavy this week.
Interesting.
And, which just some weeks, you know, I have more like teenagers that are coming in and, every teenage well check took me double the time of any of my sick visits or if it was a well check for a kid 12 and under, right?
Is that because they offered up information to you, you dug it out of them, or this is just an 11-year relationship where you feel like it's a two-way street?
Maybe it's a combination of those things, but I think some of it's just that the problems are more robust. Like there's just more there that they want to talk about. It's not just give me an example of a food that has lots of protein in it, right?
Right. No.
It's like how do I get rid of my pimples? Pimples and weight and, you know, friend groups and academic pressures, parent pressures. I mean, it was kind of sad. Like by the end on Friday night when I got home, I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I feel kind of sad and a little bit overwhelmed by what they're facing.
Well, and I mean, you face this as a mother of a teenager as well.
Yeah.
And you know that this is the first time for the both of us to go through this we are board certified pediatricians and there is a lot that we know. But in terms of parenting, there's probably some good, I mean, I feel certain there's a lot of good AAP like recommendations out there, but so much of it is style points.
Oh my gosh.
And how and what your children respond to. So, you know, what motivates them? Does the fear of losing something motivate them? Does the thought of a reward motivate them?
Right.
Do they not care at all? And I think that a lot of times I feel so overwhelmed with parenting because I think I should know the answers and then I don't, or I do something that I feel like was a terrible parenting mistake.
Yes, me too.
And then I'm like, oh great, this is just one more thing for him to talk about in therapy. Which is fine. That's why we're in therapy.
Everyone.
It's great.
Oh my God. I'm sorry about this little dog crawling onto my lap and making it impossible.
It's nice. It looks really cozy.
Okay, good.
Looks really cozy.
Oh, my cat dog.
Yes.
So what about your week? Tell me about your week. Any interesting cases or?
So I did have a patient, on Thursday. Actually, I saw her on Wednesday. So this is a 5-week-old little baby.
Okay.
Who first-time parents.
Okay.
And the baby saw for the 1-month checkup. Everything was good, but maybe had started having a little runny nose.
Yeah.
And dad had recently had a cold, so did have an exposure. Doesn't have an older sibling, but hadn't been out to the mall or Starbucks or anything.
Right.
But definitely had a known sick contact.
Okay.
So we sort of talked a little bit about what to expect if the baby does start to develop some cold symptoms and gave them warning signs. And then I also talked to them a little bit about watching the way the baby's breathing.
Yeah.
And so trying to describe retracting to someone can be hard because babies, when you look at them, especially if they're on the thinner side, you know, you can see their stomach moving up and down when they're breathing. That's normal. It's their body's supposed to move when they breathe. And so trying to get that fine line between when is it too hard, when is it too fast, when are you scared, to describe that to someone can be really hard.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I give all the warning signs. So obviously fever.
Yeah.
So any temperature over 100.4. And I still do recommend a rectal temp under the age of 12 weeks. Because
and
it is
just to give clarity to that. So if someone's listening to this, so we talk about fever above 100.4 in this age group specifically.
Under 12 weeks.
Exactly. Yes. After that, then really we would consider that very low grade. So, you know, and more like 101.5 would be considered like a true fever.
Correct.
Okay. So go ahead.
So the baby did not have a fever at the 1-month checkup, sort of gave him some warning signs. And to me, I think when a baby has a cold, other than having issues breathing, the biggest risk you run is dehydration.
Yeah.
Because babies are what we call obligate nose breathers, which means that when they're eating or drinking, they have to be breathing through their nose. So if their nose is so congested that they can't breathe, then they're not able to drink. And then they get dehydrated. And when you weigh 7-8 pounds, you don't have a lot of reserve.
Right.
So I talked to them about how many, I want to see at least 3 heavy wet diapers every day. And I want your baby to have periods where she's vigorous.
Yeah.
She's going to be cranky and you may have to feed her small amounts more frequently.
Right.
You don't want to oversuction. Suctioning can be helpful. And so by suction, I mean, there's a few different things out there on the market. One is the nose Frida. Did you ever use the nose Frida?
I never did.
I didn't either.
All our patients do, I feel.
No,
like.
I just couldn't get past the mental. So a nose Frida, for those of you that don't know, is this plastic tube with a filter on it and then like a little plastic pointy thing that goes in the baby's nose.
Right.
And then you suck on the other end of it to get the mucus out.
Yes.
So there is a filter.
There is.
And it's supposed to go into a different tube, but anyway.
Yeah, strange concept.
Yes, so that is one thing. And I always tell them put saline in first because that way you can sort of loosen up any mucus. The thicker the mucus is, and the if you're, you know, putting a good amount of suction on there, that can just cause trauma to the airway.
Right.
Or the, you know, the nasal passages and make it swollen and make the problem worse.
Be self-defeating.
So I told them, you know, do not over suction because then that you can lead to its own set of rules or set of problems.
Yeah.
And if you find that you're having to suction for your baby to breathe, then we need to see her again.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, things kind of got worse over the next couple of days and I had warned them that usually the worst days are days 3 through 5.
For sure.
And so just so everyone kind of knows the general progression of a cold is, you're going to, you know, start with some runny nose, maybe fever early on.
Uh-huh.
And then days 3 through 5 is really when it's peaking with the most congestion and runny
everything
nose.
Thickens.
And you feel achy I mean, we assume they do.
Right.
And so, and then after that, everything starts to get a little bit better.
Right.
And usually the worst of it's over by about probably 7 to 9 days.
Absolutely.
But then the cough can last for 2 or 3 weeks more. And
I've
so
had this exact
I think that
same spiel.
Yeah,
it's amazing
I
how
know.
It is literally it's fact.
It's fact. And so the other thing I tell them is kids will get 15 to 20 colds a year that can last 2 to 3 weeks each. And if you do the math on that, then your child is basically going to have a runny nose until he or she is 2, maybe more, especially when they're active and interacting with other kids. And it doesn't just have to be daycare. I think that there's this misconception that if your baby stays home with a nanny or you, babysitter or is in a small, you know, setting, yeah, that they're not going to get colds. And I think it does lessen the degree of exposure. However, if you leave your house and you touch something at Target, right, and then you touch your baby, then that, I mean, that's,
and really,
germs are everywhere.
And we want you to have some degree of exposure, even though it's difficult. I mean, the social aspect is so critically important. You're also building up this robust, right, immune system. I,
yes,
mean, it's good to have some exposure.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Right. And I think that what I tell my parents who, really want to isolate their children, yeah, when from, yeah, from illness, I say, pay me now or pay me later. I mean, yeah, this, yeah, is going to be, right, this is something your kids are going to go through. Now, granted, it's a lot easier to treat a runny nose in a 10-month-old,
yeah,
than,
no,
a 5-week-old.
Well, but, for sure. The first couple months are a little bit of an exception.
So, yeah, for sure. But, you know, after, if you come in when your kid is 15 months old, and you're like, we have had a runny nose for months.
Yeah.
That is my everyday.
Yeah.
And so I,
yeah,
think that it's very easy to get overwhelmed because you feel like your kid chronically has a runny nose. But for some reason, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, totally. So tell me
about. So back to the baby.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So then the baby came in the next day. I'm sorry. Okay. So the baby came in maybe 2 days later,
okay,
and saw nurse practitioner.
Okay.
Who kind of went over everything. The oxygen stats were,
yeah,
good. Gave,
yeah,
the same warnings as I did.
Okay.
Came back and saw me the next day.
Okay.
And I said, and this is basically the same thing. The baby was not sick enough to be sent to the hospital.
Right.
The baby had still not had a fever at all.
Yeah.
And so we...
And you think you're around day four of the illness now?
We're around day four of the illness now. So same thing. You know, everything looks good. The baby, yeah, is, maybe the baby may have been down an ounce or so. So we talk a little bit about filling smaller, yeah, amounts more frequently, maybe fill in with some Pedialyte.
Yeah.
General warnings when to return. And so then that night the baby got really sick.
Yeah.
And so they called our nurse who, mm-hmm, sent her to the emergency room.
Okay.
Got there around midnight.
Okay.
And was there, had chest x-ray.
Uh-huh.
They did the rapid test, which was positive for RSV,
uh-huh,
which we'll talk about that specifically in,
yeah,
a minute. But,
yeah,
basically at that time, baby wasn't sick enough to be admitted to the hospital.
Yeah.
So got sent home,
mm-hmm,
came in to see me the next day. And by this time, the baby was sick.
Yeah.
And so fever.
Oh, no.
Decreased energy.
Uh-huh.
Kind of doing a little, almost grunting, mm-hmm, with a whine. So they go through a period where they're working hard and then they just kind of wear out.
Yeah.
And so this was the point where I said, okay, we need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
The baby didn't need oxygen. The baby didn't need antibiotics, but the baby needed to be monitored somewhere other than the home of the parents.
For sure.
And so at this point, I called the emergency room and said, mm-hmm, I'm sending this baby back.
Mm-hmm.
We reached a tipping point, basically.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these babies that end up hospitalized, mm-hmm, with RSV or what we call bronchiolitis,
yeah,
which I also describe as a chest cold because I,
yeah,
think that kind of is a good,
it's,
way.
Because, mm-hmm,
you know,
beautifully
a
described.
Head cold is your nose makes a bunch of snot, uh-huh, and chest cold, your lungs are making snot.
Yes.
And so... I am really with the accurate terms.
Absolutely.
Right? And so there can be all sorts of viruses that cause this. I think RSV, mm-hmm, is one that we have a rapid test for.
Yeah.
And we don't actually
do. It may have a little bit more potential to move into the lower airways.
Yes.
Right?
For sure. Some. Others. Yes. Yeah. For sure. There's ones that gravitate towards your face, so to speak. So. You know, they were like, oh my gosh, this is RSV. And I have a lot of parents that come to me asking about RSV. And I say, you know, there's a lot of different viruses out there that,
yeah,
cause cold symptoms.
Yeah.
And RSV, one of the reasons that we know about it so much is because there is a test that is relatively quick and,
right,
inexpensive to test specifically for that virus.
Right.
There are more tests now that you can run,
right,
that do the, you know, PCR, and we'll name that tune, as Dr. Sue likes to say,
uh-huh,
which basically you give them all the same supportive,
right,
care,
right,
information, but
there's still no treatment.
There's still no treatment
specific,
exactly,
to each of those.
But I don't want a parent to worry more about RSV positive bronchiolitis than,
right,
RSV negative bronchiolitis, because they can both end up being just as sick.
But I want to make a point to this because I think this is, you know, something that I hear a lot from parents in my patient population, but it's, you know, parents will sometimes be like, okay, well, I'm here today because I don't want to get to the point where then I need to go to the hospital.
Yes.
And it's a tough thing because, you know, from the pediatrician standpoint, there's really no way to know when we're looking at a child on day three of the illness, is this child going to go, you know, slowly and gradually improve without intervention other than nasal saline and suctioning and humidifier, whatever? Or is this child going to progress and worsen and potentially get fever and end up needing hospitalization for observation or oxygen or whatever? So all we can do, and I think you've described this really well through this story, is give information about what to watch for and recognize that we're doing everything we can to keep you out of the hospital. But sometimes that means coming in just like your parents did, which is really, I mean, smart on their part.
Yes.
Come in the next day, come in the following day. And I know it's a whip, but that's the only way to really watch the progression unless you feel comfortable watching and you know your child's improving. But if you feel like you're going the wrong direction, sometimes it takes until day six or day seven to know that we need to take it to the next step but to get to the point where we do have to take it to the next step because you either progress or you improve.
Well, and I think one thing parents, I mean, for sure they get frustrated when they have to keep coming back in and we have nothing I feel like it's not that we have nothing to offer, but we have nothing
other than reassurance. Continued advice.
However, I certainly have parents who feel guilty or bad or embarrassed that they came back in, and I tell them that too. You should never, ever be made to feel like you shouldn't be here.
Yes.
And if your pediatrician is making you feel like you should not have come to the office, you need a new pediatrician.
For sure.
Because you need to feel supported.
Yeah.
And especially first baby.
When you're little.
Yes. Well, I don't know. If you want to come in and have one little dot looked at, I think that's my job to tell you that dot is not dangerous.
I totally agree.
And then
agree
we can
with
talk
you.
About other things like fall fashion trends or, you know, a new recipe I definitely won't cook. You know, different topics, but you should never feel ashamed if you're worried about something because God forbid that little dot is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And so I that's sort of off on a tangent, but I try to tell my patients that, and I think it's probably personality type as well, like who feels, you know, embarrassed that they quote wasted someone's time, but people tell me that I feel bad I wasted your time, and I say you did not waste my time. That's why I'm here. This is my job.
Absolutely.
And so the only caveat to that is don't get mad at me if I don't do anything about it. Don't get mad at me if I don't have anything other than reassurance.
Right.
So that's my caveat to that. So, but the baby's doing great.
Good.
You know, and I think the baby needed some IV fluids.
Yeah.
Just wasn't drinking as well. Yeah. And just like any other cold, it goes away eventually.
Right.
And so I think kind of just accepting that this too shall pass is part of it. And you just have to roll with the punches and that good old fashioned, what we call supportive care.
Yep. Well, we're lucky to be in a place where we have such a huge network of, you know, the emergency room, the nurse triage, that someone's always there. If it's not you, it's going to be, you know, one of the providers that you trust. And, and it's just this continued, you know, just careful observation when it comes to RSV.
Yes. So, and bronchiolitis in general.
And actually, that's kind of an interesting point. And I don't know if anybody even finds this interesting, but
there's
a real split between, you know, people who want to test for RSV and people who don't want to test. And, you know, maybe this in the end comes down to all of this discussion around healthcare costs, right?
Sure.
Which is a huge issue. But, you know, it makes sense. Some parents want to know whether or not it's, you know, RSV or paraflu or whatever. And I think it really makes sense when you've got, like, say, a 2-year-old who's presenting with a horrible cold and you have a 2-week-old at home.
Right.
And you're just trying to get a sense of what we're dealing with. But that being said, just like you said earlier, every cold has the potential to turn into a bronchiolitis or to become something greater in the sense of a secondary, you know, bacterial infection or something like that. And so knowing or not knowing potentially doesn't really make a difference when we're talking about a virus that we can't treat, that we can only monitor. And so you know, there are some pediatricians who will say, I'm not testing for RSV at all because mm-hmm. it makes no difference in how I'm going to manage this. Mm-hmm. And then there are some who really want to test and know, you know, with every patient. And I think for me, it depends on the situation, the family, what the case is, you know, what's, you know, going on around that. And I actually ask parents a lot of times what they would prefer.
Right.
Do you want to know if this is X, Y, or Z? Or are we comfortable just, you know, watching and I'm going to tell you the same thing. It's not something we can treat, et cetera. So.
And the other thing that I'm going to touch on when you talked about a secondary bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. So when a cold is starting, yeah. it is very normal to have a fever the first few days.
Absolutely.
But if you've had a cold for 5 days and mm-hmm. then you just then spike a fever.
Yes.
That is a little bit more concerning. And so I would be faster to come in, even in a 2-year-old.
For sure.
If your 2-year-old starts to get a fever, cough, and runny nose for a few days, you know, you can sit at home. Once again, happy to see him.
Right.
Right. You know, as long as you accept that I can't, you know, treat anything with an antibiotic. But if you're 2-year-old has a cough and runny nose for a week and then gets a fever,
yeah.
then I definitely want to see him or her because that's when you get concerned about ear infections or even potentially pneumonia.
Absolutely.
In little girls, bladder infections more yeah. so than little boys. And,
yeah.
and it's not that the cold leads to a bladder infection. It's just that it's not.
Other factors play in.
There are
like
other
dehydration. Yeah.
And, just that they're both common. So
right.
bladder infection and colds, are, if they're both common, then just because you have one disease, which sounds dramatic, one illness,
right.
doesn't mean you can't have another one
right.
concurrently.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
So now we'll open it up to questions from the audience. No, I'm just kidding.
Sound booth.
Do you have any questions? He doesn't. He just punts everything to his wife.
Oh God, do you see what he has on his face? I can't believe that I haven't mentioned this yet.
Okay, so Hayden asked me for $10.
Oh no.
And I said, why? And he said it's for No Shave November.
Oh.
And so this is for
No Shave November.
Is that what you're doing?
I like that so much better. Does that mean you have to grow a beard?
What? Oh yeah, yeah.
This is Movember, which was the original, which I honestly have not seen much of this, and I'm hoping then that I can tell Kevin that this doesn't really exist anymore. So apparently this is, you know, raising awareness for men's health. And so my husband who has this, if any of you've seen him, this full fabulous beard, which Strangely enough, I love. Shaved that and now has a mustache.
Okay, so No Shave November versus Movember. Is Movember means you have a mustache?
Yes.
And that is
raising awareness.
Same, or it's which is
I've
there
never
such
heard
thing?
Of No Shave oh, November.
We're gonna do some high level research here with the internet.
No Shave November.
So
I've never heard of.
With Hayden asking me for $10, well, first of all, this kid is 15. He cannot grow any sort of beard.
Right.
And so I feel certain that any amount of not shaving he does is going to end up with a very scraggly, pencil thin mustache and maybe one or two little patches of facial hair.
Right.
Maybe not. I don't know.
So, I think Holden may be getting a little bit of a mustache.
I struggle.
To grow awareness of embracing our hair, which many cancer patients lose.
And oh.
Letting it grow wild and free. Donate the money you typically spend on shaving and grooming to educate about cancer prevention.
Do you spend a lot of money on shaving
okay,
and grooming,
Okay, I don't think anybody
Kevin?
Could hear what you just said. Should I relay that?
Yeah,
okay, so what No Shave November is it's basically, let's see if I can see this. It's a month-long journey during which participants forego shaving and grooming in order to evoke conversation and raise cancer awareness. So the thought is that a lot of people have, you know, lose their hair through chemotherapy, and so people who are being supportive of them will just grow their own hair wild and free and then donate the money that they save.
But, I mean, that's just my question, like, how much could you possibly save by not shaving for a month? I don't know. Do you use a new razor every day as a man? Oh, he doesn't know.
He never shaves. Well, he did recently.
Okay, Kevin, let's think back to when you were in the real world. Because when I met you, you didn't have a beard. Did you shave your face every day? Do you have to use a new razor every day? Is that a thing? So would you say you spend $10 a month? $1,000 a month? I have no concept.
Maybe it's only probably $10 a month. So,
oh, this is true. I feel like the because they have like five blades in them now, right?
They do because they're getting that close shape.
They're getting that close shape. Okay, well,
so maybe they're going for volume. They figure if enough people do it, then they can really.
I will say he is up at 8 a.m. recording a podcast for you and your friend. Maybe we should cut him some slack.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Movember. Oh, this is for prostate cancer, testicular cancer.
All the cancers all that affect men.
Oh, there's girls on this site, though. Girls
because they're being supportive, I think.
They don't shave their legs or armpits, maybe? Or
maybe. I don't know the answer to that.
It doesn't say. I mean, I guess it depends. On
they're just the significant others to the guys that are walking around with those mustaches.
But, okay, they all the people on the website.
Kevin just said, see how happy they are. And of course I'm happy because he's fabulous anyway.
Okay. I feel good about that little bit of information we're getting out to our public.
Me too.
Go from 5 week old babies. So if you want to support either of those initiatives, donate all the money that you spend on shaving. And
to
body grooming.
Awareness. I think that's great.
Sure.
Anyway, there's no reason we should ever, or I guess there's always a reason we should donate to cancer awareness.
Absolutely. Awareness / research / support for people going through cancer.
Absolutely. Okay. What are we at? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, hold on. I feel like I wrote some stuff down. Maybe we could hit on one more topic.
I like 30. In the end, I think 30 minutes, it's perfect.
Yeah, I was almost thinking 20. But
yeah, 20 to 30.
30, and then you took another pass at the, I think it was vaccines.
Sure.
The last, like you naturally stopped at 30 minutes. And then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We can still record, but I like 30. I feel like that's when I listen to something, that's about as long as I want it before I take a break from it and then come back to it. This is so fun with you.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I was just thinking about this and you don't have to still be recording.
Well, why don't you naturally wrap it up?
Oh, okay. 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 Okay, next week. I think we really need to make a point, unless you are, you know, off gallivanting around.
Yes, let's very important social life.
At the very least, we need to do every other
week. I cleaned
out
my closet last night. It was very exciting. I even got out the label maker.
I love it.
Yes.
I know you love your label maker.
I love my label maker.
Funny.
Because that way, you know where things are.
It's so true. And don't you feel like, I was telling my 13-year-old daughter this yesterday because she finally like cleaned up her, you know, her bathroom and her vanity or whatever.
Right.
She was like, I feel so much better about everything. And I go, Remy, it's like a reflection of your mind. It truly is.
Like, that's such a good point.
If your closet is clean, your bathroom is clean, I feel like my mind is less cluttered. I truly do. I think it's a reflection.
I was at my parents' house last weekend and I told my mom that her closet was so messy I couldn't even find anything I wanted to borrow.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
it was
no good.
Very overwhelming to me. And so,
I know we're going on to another topic.
Oh, sorry.
We could sit here all day.
I know, we could.
Okay,
this is true.
So Karen,
we're
love chatting with you. And I
love
I really
with you
think
too.
What I'm hoping we can get from this podcast is, I mean, obviously touching on things that, you know, just you and I find interesting and important.
Right.
And hopefully other people will too. But hopefully we can give some relevant good advice to parents.
Absolutely.
That, you know, I know we talk about this stuff with our patients every day, but of course our time is limited in the office and maybe we can elaborate on things a little bit more here and just help from a, you know, parenting perspective.
Well, I do think it would be good to have them in. I feel like the first one we recorded probably had three specific topics.
Yeah.
And so if we had them broken down by individual, and that way, if you don't have a 5-week-old, maybe you don't need to listen to that one. But if you have a teenager, you'll listen to the one on ADD.
For sure. For sure.
So
I hear you.
Yeah. That way they can pick and choose or listen to all of them because you may miss an interesting factoid you didn't know. Like no Movember.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for another week of the Mommy MD podcast.